The gospel lesson today is from the 6th chapter of John. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people and to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. That's 5,000 men. They didn't count the women. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Joyce. You know, the challenge that we face when we've walked with Jesus a day or two is to allow the truth to be fresh. And if it will be fresh, then it's easy for us to take in such a way that it provides nourishment for us. Now you understand why when we pray about, when we receive to ourselves, when we talk about being nourished by the bread of life, it is about the courage and the willingness to receive Jesus in his fullness to us, that we might be able to be that same kind of wisdom and courage, hope and love in the world. I don't know of a better story for us to consider as we challenge ourselves to think about how it is that I am a recipient of all that Jesus is. And how am I, to quote our friend Abby, to share? How am I a good sharer when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? This story, I think, is the perfect place for us to start for these reasons. And I'm not kidding when I'm about to tell you this, so you might want to get something ready to write with. I think that there are 3 things in this story that could be the perspective you and I engage in any given day. Sometimes we hit all 3 of them every day. But I want you to write them down because I want you to be able to focus. And I didn't get them on the screen. I want it, matter of fact, to be in your own handwriting. There is the Philip perspective. That's Philip with 1 L. By the way, and perspective, you get the point, I want you to write this down. Perspective is spelled PERSPECTIVE. Don't be impressed, that's about as good as it gets. Spelling bee will not be for me. Well, there's the Philip perspective, and then there's the Andrew attitude. Third on that list is the little boy bravery. I want you to think about what we just heard from our brothers. As we read the Word of God, we hear from one who walked with Jesus, there ain't no way we ever going to be able to do that. It takes 6 months' wages just to be able to try to feed them, much less accomplish the task. There's no way we can do this. Then there's that Andrew attitude I mentioned. There's no way one could make any kind of a dent in the need that's on this hill. It would take 6 months' wages to begin to feed these people. Well, we got a little boy here with a lunch, but I don't know what that's going to matter in the face of all of this need. The reason why I've layered this multiple times now is because Philip and Andrew become a picture of the church most often. We are already worried when we look at the budget sheets. And y'all do know that just because it's in the budget don't mean it's in the bank, right? Do y'all know that? I mean, we know it at home when it's time to write the mortgage check or the rent payment. But, I mean, do you really know, even from a spiritual standpoint, that if it ain't in the bank, it doesn't matter what's written on the paper? Often the church lives, even though we say with our mouths that we believe in the one who is the creator of all, is also the one who resides within us to create hope in the midst of darkness, to create a way through where I find no way, where you see no way. And we become Philip and Andrew in our everyday lives. We don't really know, though many preachers have preached on that, including the one standing before you, that the little boy somehow willingly coughed up his lunch for somebody to be able to use. We don't know that. The biblical witness does not say that he came running down the aisle or the hillside and said, "Hey, I don't know what you can do with it, but here, you got mine." Maybe all it took was for somebody to ask. I don't know what we'll do with it, but would you be willing? The idea, though, is that the little boy, when nobody else grown, remembered he did, that I can and I will. You know, Jesus asked the disciples to take on a task that appears, from anybody's perspective, to be impossible. I want you to remember a different biblical witness. In the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus stands before his 12 and other disciples when they're arguing about money and faith and what is actually possible when a person of faith also has a lot of jingle in their pocket. Jesus says, with man, living out faith when you got bank. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. From the 9th chapter of Mark, as an epileptic's dad stood in front of Jesus when his disciples could not or would not pronounce healing and cause it to happen, he challenged Jesus, "Well, if you want to or if you can." Jesus' reply, "All things are possible for the one who believes." Luke 1, verse 37, Gabriel said to Mary when he told her what God's idea was, nothing is impossible with God. How dare we, as individual Christians or as a body of believers in this place, ever think first there's no way we can do, fill in the blank. There's no way I can contribute to making a difference because of whatever it is that you're thinking about. This is my go-to story, and so I apologize. If you're tired of hearing Ellen Humrickhouse's name, I apologize, but I'm going to tell you again anyway. Ellen Humrickhouse is a 26-year-old who finished her college degree because she knew her mom and dad were already disappointed when she said, "I think God's calling me to live in Haiti." At 26 years old, she has 11 children with 3 more adoptions pending. And she is already working on enlarging the compound that she has single-handedly worked to raise money to build, so that the developmentally delayed and the special needs children who have been thrown away literally at her front door and in mud puddles around the town have a place that they can call home. In addition to those 11 with 3 adoptions pending, Ellen and her staff provide clean water for over 100 people in the village of Arcay. And she feeds, along with her 11 and whoever comes to visit, she feeds the homeless out of their refrigerator and their cupboards every day. Ellen doesn't live here. You do. So what will your response as an individual or as a church family be to the 330-plus homeless children living in the east side of Wilson County be? Now, what I mean by homeless, not to make it less than it is that those 330-plus kids have no permanent, predictable place to be able to call home. Because mom and dad have only got one car because mom or daddy walked out. I can't always get to school unless I'm staying on Aunt Sally's couch or I'm staying on Uncle Bud's front porch. 330-plus children in our county considered homeless. Jail admissions for Wilson County alone in Middle Tennessee have quadrupled in the last 12 and a half years. And the drug arrests made on the campuses of Wilson County Lebanon schools alone have doubled in the last year and a half. It's not just those 5,000 plus on the hill in front of the one that they hoped was the prophet of God who are hungry and in need. And as Joyce so boldly and bravely prayed this morning, may it be our prayer too, which means not only do we think and say the words out loud, but you and I begin to allow elbow grease to be applied in those directions too. How is it that you and I will choose a perspective by which we live? The problem is too big for us to address? Well, then what are you doing here? The problem is too big for one of us to address? Well, then make a little bit of a difference somewhere. If we all say that we belong to Him, then our lives should look like this. We should stand in confidence of God's awareness and ability to make a difference in our lives and through our lives. We should be living in anticipation of what God will do because we know that God is already up to something. You and I should, if we are who we say we are, be quick to align ourselves, thought and action, to join God in what He is already doing. There's one phrase we haven't mentioned yet that I hope bothers you as much as it bothers me. Jesus asked Philip the question that he responded to. Jesus asked him the question because, did you catch it? Go ahead and flip to the front of your bulletin. Because I want you to know that I'm not making anything up. Jesus asked Philip to go buy where are we going to buy all this food? He asked Philip because he knew already what he was going to do. Jesus already knows what he's going to do about the homeless children in Wilson County. He already knows what he's going to do about those who make bad choices or who feel like they have no choices at all in Wilson County. He already knows what he's going to do about those who wrestle with the throes of addiction. He already knows what he's going to do, but he is asking us whether we will participate in providence or not. Will we? Will we join God in what He is already doing? I hate to break it to you, but the way we begin is to begin with what is most precious to us and let God have that too. I told you 3 weeks ago I wasn't going to apologize when we got to this place. But where we begin, my friends, is with what is most precious to us, and that is time and money. You can't commit to God what you believe He deserves because you might not have enough left. You've already told God He ain't who He says He is. Jesus asked Philip to test Him. I believe He's testing us too. Will you, my friend, participate in providence? Your God would like to know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.